Raise your hand if you have ever been discouraged. I think just about everybody at some point in their lives has been discouraged. How many of you, if you would be transparent enough, how many of you have been discouraged this week? My hand's going up, so if you want to, this week. All right, so, okay. Does anybody want to take a shot at defining discouragement or describing discouragement? Anybody have any thoughts there? Yes, Margaret? Okay, feeling that you can't do anything to change the situation. All right. It's discouraging. Discouragement. Yes. Okay, situation didn't turn out what you were thinking it was going to be. Those are good definitions, good descriptions, I think, of discouragement. And, of course, it can come in many different forms. It can be caused by many different things. Both of you mentioned circumstances. Circumstances often are the cause, it seems, primarily of our discouragement. As I talked about discouragement, I just think about the word itself. It's got the word courage in there. So there might be the thought of lacking in courage, which could be expanded upon lacking in hope, which I think the two definitions we received tonight came out like that, lacking in hope. Even a weakness in spirit. One word that came to my mind that takes in, I think, both of what Tico and Margaret said was the word deflated. Deflated. It's like you have this expectation, you have this hope, you have this confidence, and then somebody takes a pen and sticks it in the balloon and it's deflated. It goes down. Hope's dashed or at least bruised. You know, that's a common occurrence. We saw that everybody in this room has experienced it. The majority of this room has experienced discouragement this week. And it's a common occurrence not only in our lives, but in lives throughout the world and throughout history. Even a man of God like David. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. You know, it's true that some believers, followers of God, experience discouragement and a weakness of spirit more frequently than others. Some experience it to a greater intensity than others. Some experience it for a longer period of time than others. But all of us experience discouragement. We all go through that. The antidote, pretty obvious, is encouragement, right? It's encouragement. It's a strengthening of spirit. And we're going to look tonight and particularly at a little word, a Hebrew word that is translated sometimes strengthen and sometimes encourage. And you may see it in the passages we look at tonight in your Bible in either one or both of those translations. But what we would like to particularly consider tonight here in 1 Samuel 23, a verse here, and then also one in chapter 30 of this book, is the idea of being encouraged and strengthened in God. In God. You know, I consider myself a pretty good encourager. But I ask myself, when I encourage someone, am I encouraging them in God? Am I encouraging them in the Lord? I'll think a little bit about that tonight. I want to consider two avenues of strengthening and encouraging in God. It's seen in two events in David's life where David is the recipient of encouragement. He's the recipient of strengthening. So, first of all, here in 1 Samuel chapter 23, we're going to see strength and encouragement through others. Now, the context here, if you read the first 18 verses, you see there that David's in a place called Keilah. K-E-I-L-A-H. It's in the lowland of Judah. And he's going there because this Judean city, which is near the territory of the Philistines is being besieged by the Philistines. The Philistines are coming in and robbing their threshing floors. You might say, well, hey, if they rob my threshing floor, I wouldn't. That's not that big of a deal, is it? But obviously, in an agrarian society, you're doing all the work. You're planting, you're watering, you're harvesting, and now you're threshing out the grain. And once you do all the work, they come in and say, thank you very much. I'll take that for myself. Obviously, they were in a very difficult situation. In fact, they were probably discouraged. David felt that he should go down there and provide assistance. His men said, well, hey, we're already afraid where we are. They were running from King Saul at that time. We're already dealing with King Saul being after you, and we're going from place to place. Now you want us to go in and deal with the Philistines? Come on, David. But David prayed about it. God said, go. So they go to Keilah and are victorious. Well, then Saul receives a reconnaissance report of David's whereabouts, and he is so happy to learn that his enemy is now in a walled city. What does that mean? Get a big army, surround the city, besiege the city, if necessary, destroy the city, but get that man. He's trapped. Well, thankfully, David also receives some information that Saul and his army is coming for him. So he prays. David says, Lord, is Saul going to come after me? And the Lord says, yes. And then he says, well, Lord, since Saul is coming, what about the people of Keilah? Are they going to turn me over to Saul? The answer was yes. You talk about discouragement. Can you imagine that? I know we probably, all of us, had opportunities or events in our lives where we helped somebody and then they turned on us. That's happened to me, reaching out, trying to help somebody, bring them into my home, and they steal something from me. You ever had anything like that? Very discouraging. Also very angering, but, you know, getting beyond that, very discouraging. So what happened to David? He had done this. He had risked his own life and come to the Keilah, and now he finds out they're going to turn me over to Saul after what I've done for them. He was discouraged. He was deflated. He probably thought, hey, now I've got some allies in the people of Keilah, but that was not the situation. His rescue was unappreciated. Again, he's being hunted by Saul. Well, notice down in verse 16, the avenue of David's encouragement here. Look where it comes from. So ironically, then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. David had left Keilah. He had gone into the wilderness of Ziph and gone into the forest, a good place to hide where he could be moving around quickly if Saul's army came. No way to surround them there. And while he's there, here comes Jonathan, the son of Saul, the son of the man who's after him, a man who is sensitive to David's need, a man who is willing to inconvenience himself for the benefit of his friend, and a man who is not only interested and concerned, but his concern is active. And he goes to strengthen the hand of David. A phrase that just means he went to encourage him, to strengthen him in spirit, to help this man who was discouraged, who was deflated. His hopes had been dashed at this particular point. But we find here that Jonathan comes and he strengthens or encourages David's hand in God. In God. He didn't go and say, David, come on, you are a great warrior. David, you've got mighty men following you. David, you're in the forest. Nobody can get you here. He didn't go and say, hey, David, look at it this way. You know, I've got a lot of pull with my dad. No, he encouraged him in God. Oh, how did he do that? Well, specifically, we can read verses 17 and 18. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. I just want to think for a few moments about some of the things that were somewhat encompassed in what Jonathan said to David, but going beyond that, very quickly, I want to encourage you tonight in God. Okay? I want to encourage you in God. He encouraged David with God's person, his character and his attributes. I think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." I want to encourage you tonight with the person of God, the character, the attributes of God Himself. I want to encourage you in God tonight with God's promises. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, we read that all the promises of God in the Lord Jesus are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. And Jonathan could encourage David, God's promises are going to be fulfilled, David. They're going to be fulfilled. He encouraged his friend David in God. He encouraged him with the power of God. In Genesis 18, 14, God asked the question to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Obviously, the answer to that rhetorical question is no. There's nothing too hard for God. He is omnipotent. David, God is in control of this situation. He is strong. He is your strength. I want to encourage you tonight in God. I want to encourage you in God's providence. You see, God intervenes in the affairs of humanity. Proverbs 16:33 says that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Something as simple as taking, in our day, a pair of dye and throwing them. You might say, well, that's not what they were doing. But in essence, they were doing that. What's the answer going to come up? God is in control of that. God is intervening. God is working in human affairs. God is working in your life. I want to encourage you with God's providence. I want to encourage you with God's patience. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, we're reminded from God Himself, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, God's ways and God's thoughts, which include God's timing, are far above ours. God is patient. We can wait on God. He's waiting. I want to encourage you tonight with God's purposefulness. He doesn't waste any of your time, any of your pain, any of your investment, but He's working it all together for good and glory. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I want to encourage you tonight with God's participation. When you're discouraged, when you're going through a difficult time, when your hopes are dashed, when somebody disappoints you, when a circumstance seems to turn against you, and you don't have anywhere to turn, don't forget that God is not far off. In fact, He's participating in your pain. We read in Hebrews 4:15 that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. God understands. God participates in your pain. And then there's God's provision. The psalmist in Psalm 103 and verse 2 cried out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Remember how He has provided for you in the past. Has God ever helped you before when you were discouraged? I know He has. Think about that. There's God's presence. Hebrews 13:5, that familiar promise, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you in your discouragement. He's not going anywhere. He's not leaving you to deal with the situation on your own. He's there. An ever-present help in trouble. The omnipresent God. And then I want to encourage you in God. I want to encourage you with God's praise. I started thinking about this in one way and ended up thinking about it in a different way. My thoughts went to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. God's going to praise you one day. Wow, isn't that a humbling thought? God is going to praise us one day. And I think He's going to praise us for those times that we praised Him. Even when we were discouraged. Even when our hopes were dashed. Even when we were deflated. Let me show you one other verse very quickly over in chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here David has some more discouragement. It's at a place called Ziklag. It's in the southern portion of Judah. And at that time, it was possessed by the Philistines. It had been given to David by the king of Gath. And while David and his men were with the Philistine army, thinking that they were going into battle actually against Israel and Saul, the Amalekites came against Ziklag, overran the city, kidnapped all the inhabitants, and burned the city. They come back after being rejected by the king and his army. No, you leave. We don't want you to fight. You might turn on us. They go back to Ziklag, and here's what they find. The men are grief-stricken. They're so grief-stricken that they discuss stoning David, their hero, their captain, stoning him to death. So David, we read, was greatly distressed. He was discouraged. He was defeated. How did David get encouraged this time? Jonathan wasn't there. Notice here in chapter 30 and look at verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, I don't know how much time passed, maybe a couple of years, some believe, from chapter 23 to chapter 30. David had learned, hadn't he? He had learned to encourage himself. I wouldn't be surprised if David told himself some of the same things that Jonathan had told him back in chapter 23. As he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Maybe he quoted some of the Psalms he had written. Psalm 27, verse 14, David wrote this, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be encouraged, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 31, 24, sounds much the same. Be of good courage. Be encouraged, and He, God, shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you in God. And I want to encourage you to encourage others in God. And I want to encourage you when nobody's around to encourage you. And you're looking around saying, "Why'd you leave me like this, Lord?" I think of Paul in prison. He says it there in 2 Timothy. Everybody fled. Everybody deserted me. I was all alone. Well, actually, I wasn't all alone. The Lord stood with me. And He's with you. I want to encourage you to be encouraged in God and encourage others and encourage yourself. As we mature in the Lord, God enables us to encourage ourselves. Not that we don't need other encouragement. We do. We need others to come along beside us, no matter how mature we are in the Lord. But what a blessing to be able to do what David did and strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Word. We thank You for the truths that are there about You. Father, we thank you that we can go and read a scripture and read a passage and be encouraged. Father, we can remind ourselves of your character and of your promises. Or we can remind ourselves that you're involved in our lives and you're going to be with us. And we can remind ourselves that you take note of the way that we respond to situations that are discouraging. Father, we want to be encouraged. Please send encouragers into our lives. Help us to encourage one another and build each other up. And Father, when there's no one there, we pray that we would encourage ourselves in you. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who brings verses to mind. Bring some of these familiar verses that we looked at tonight. Lord, bring them to our minds. Some of us will be discouraged before we leave this building. Some of us came in here discouraged. Father, some of us will be discouraged later tonight or tomorrow or in the coming days. And we pray that we'll be reminded of all the reason that we have to be encouraged, that we have to be strengthened because of you. Father, may we be careful to strengthen others in you, and may we strengthen ourselves in you. And we thank you for your assurance that you will be with us. Thank you for the encouragement we receive from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. May you be encouraged in the Lord.